This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Well, hello again. Welcome back to another Wednesday evening with the shower door professionals. You know them. Here they are in all of their glory. They know stuff. Yeah. They know stuff about shower doors, stuff you may not know. So pay attention. Yeah. Hey, if you would like to join us here, you can. Admission is free. All you need is a finger and to click with. So just get out the old clicking finger, click on the link, come on into the room, and we will talk about stuff. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. I'm going to go ahead and put a little link in here. Watch this. Here I go. It's going to be awesome. Bam. Oh, no, that's not the one. Never mind. It's not it. But Rob will put it in there. So you can go and sign up for the...
I got you. Just carry on.
You can sign up for the newsletter. We're working on that. So we're going to have a newsletter that's going to come out. And that'll be cool. I've got some big hopes for that. I think there's a lot of stuff that we could do a little bit more effectively in print than we do here. And like, you know, people have information they want to post. So you've got a job opportunity or something, or, you know, a piece of equipment you want to sell or anything, who knows, you know, sky's the limit. We could put it in there. We'll have articles, news about stuff, new stuff. Yeah. So anyway, there it is. It's right there in the link in the chat room. That link is, you can click on it and check it out. Okay, cool. So yeah, I was thinking, you know, I was wondering, you know, I was pondering. So how much of the work you all are doing is for homeowners, you know, like retail, and how much of it is for contractors? Is there anybody in the group that just doesn't work with contractors at all? Is there anybody in the group who like doesn't work with homeowners at all, only works with contractors? I would be surprised if there was someone like that. Surprised, but not shocked, because nothing shocks me anymore, because I've lived through the past few years on Earth and nothing is shocking anymore. But yeah, tell me, what do you think? Any input on that? What ratio of your customers are contractors?
Well, I can start.
There you go.
Well, go ahead, Brad.
All right. Now, we do very little new construction. In my past experience, it was, you know, like 95% new construction. And then after the recession, I just built my business model around, you know, the homeowner business, make it a retail thing. And it is different. It is different. You know, we do very little. I would say we do have on occasion some new houses, but we don't deal with any tract builders or any big custom builders. Well, I kind of take that back. Okay. I have one right now, actually. And he is a custom builder, building high-end homes. So we do have some of those, but we do have, you have to categorize, because we have a lot of guys that are, like remodelers. And then we have tile guys and, Christina, what other kind of guys do we have?
Refinishers, I don't know, we have designers, a lot of designers too. Those can be fun. Yeah, I mean, I think the overarching theme, though, is we are a sub for a lot of residential contractors who do more work than just glass. So, but that would be about 50% of business, and the other 50% is straight with the homeowner, I would say. It used to be about 80-20. Brad didn't want to work with contractors. Because that's, you know, a big part of really hard to get paid. And so that's why we were 80-20 and now we're about 50-50 these days. But we're really tight with our goals.
Well, and a lot of the contractors have us go direct with their customer. So we're trading leads. So that's our experience.
That seems like a pretty good man. If you can do that, I think that sounds about ideal.
I think that's I think that's a little low on the homeowners, Christina, but maybe that's, I don't know. It'd be good.
They take up more of our time. They definitely they feel like more because you have to sell every homeowner independently. Yeah. But I don't know, if we look at the revenue, it could be 50-50. That's something we need to look at.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Who else? Don't be shy.
I've seen different GCS locations experience different ebbs and flows and different glass locations I've talked to. Some places I've seen have someone dedicated that even if they're 80% residential or 30% residential, that individual never speaks to a homeowner, or opposite. The other individuals only deal with homeowners. But from what I've seen, the pros and cons is the locations that had heavy residential and never experienced the construction builder flow, whenever the economy was going down or their particular area was suffering lack of extra funds amongst the community, their sales went down, while the locations who had more constructions and builders did not experience having to worry about rotating shifts and how to keep the guys with 40 and make it as productive as they needed to be and those kind of concerns. And that made a lot of other places start to make sure we have some kind of relationship building efforts in both areas, finding out where we're lacking, what's needed, what season is coming in the economy, and how can we best prepare our pipeline so that the customers know we're there and available for them. And whenever that flows the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense to me.
We don't do much commercial at all. So you kind of broke it up, Robert, in going with commercial versus residential. And we probably should do a little commercial to diversify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We started doing some restaurant work, just little things here and there, though, for now, just building our repertoire. We'll get there. But it is good to diversify. I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
But we don't do storefront. We don't do any big jobs like that. So it's not our forte, and I feel a little uncomfortable trying to bid it if I don't understand the business. You know, multifamily at one time. I used to do high rises and shower doors and the closet shelving and bath accessories and all that stuff in high rises, residential high rises. But I don't have any of that anymore. So.
Are there other people here who don't do any storefront?
We do not. We don't do any storefront at PCS. It's just residential.
Are you in a pool right now?
I am. When it's been over 115 degrees for like the whole month of July, it's in the pool. And I'm babysitting my kids. I guess I'm not babysitting, they're my kids, but I'm watching my kids.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, 50.
Dude, I want to be in the pool. That sounds awesome.
Gosh. I bet it is.
So nice pool fence.
Yep. We used to do storefront back in the 80s, and then it dried up, and we never went back to it. We went back to residential.
So are you, like, not doing really any commercial at all?
We'll go out and do store replacements and stuff, and, you know, hardware, door closers, and broken kitchen windows. But we got it out of installing storefronts. So.
Yeah.
So along came more people, and if they got it, you missed something. So. And you didn't get paid your money every time you built. You know, they kept 10% every time you build them. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the job, or something went bad, you had to wait till they fixed it all before they pay all the retention. That could be a lot of money. So at night, we're doing shower doors and the small stuff, and you get a paycheck for it.
Yeah, you know, the thing about working with contractors is over time, you know, you develop these relationships, and then inevitably they're going to ask you to do something that you don't normally do, right? I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tricky, because it's like, depending on how much you like them or whatever, you know, you may end up like doing something that you wouldn't do for somebody else just because, you know, of the relationship. But really, you know, that's what business is all about, is those relationships, you know. But
no is the hardest thing to say.
Yeah.
The power of no.
Yeah.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden you're building 100 screens and you don't even do screens, and it was supposed to take a month, and 4 months later, your guys are wondering what's going on. That's what I did in Austin when I was in control of saying yes and no. That's why someone else had to be in control of that.
Exactly.
Very, very important.
Man has to know his limitations.
Mm-hmm. That's a matter of that focus that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, for the locations that do offer multiple services and multiple clientele, when your product changes, that was the big issue we had. I know some locations have everyone they need to do it, but when we try to offer everything and keep offering everything, it required more and more people that knew what to do. Every new hire now had to do 4 different products. They had to know everything about the intricacies of mirrors and showers and the commercial product, depending on where we put them, versus just making a shower expert. And it really helped when we narrowed down our focus. It helped on our training and how to maximize efficiency and the speed to which someone can be independent in a vehicle versus needing them to be a helper for a longer amount of time. And doing that focus really helped us based on what we had to work with, our tool set. So that's something to be aware of. If you do try to attack something, make sure you're keeping it within the parameters of which y'all are awesome at.
Exactly. The old 80-20 rule, right? Just figure out the 20% that makes you 80% of the money and do that.
When Christina was talking a little while ago about the 20% that take 80% of their time, which is residential customers.
That's right? The other way it works. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Does seem to break down that way, though.
Also, the 20% that takes 80% of the time pays 80% of the bills.
That's right. It does work both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The good thing about building rapport and relationships with builders is they keep coming back. Like, they're your power partners. They refer you to, you know, residential customers. And then they always have work. So even the builders, when the economy slows down, retail's not going to be doing too many showers in their little remodel, but the builders, they'll resort and they'll diversify. They'll start doing remodels if they're building custom homes, and they're going to continue to get work and be a partner of yours.
Excellent point. Yeah. If they need to pivot, they've got a lot of room to pivot, you know, like you're saying, I mean, if they're normally builders and don't really do remodels, and then all of a sudden there isn't a lot of new building going on, they can pivot to be remodelers and boom, they're still your client.
Yeah. And I'm also talking like custom builders, not frac home builders, because that industry is just tough to be in, but custom builders.
Yeah. Yeah. Track homes don't have nice shower doors and stuff in them, generally speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. In our experience, you know, you can have one custom home, you know, that gives you maybe, you know, $100,000-$300,000 worth of glass, one customer, one house, or you can have, you know, 150 home owners that give you maybe, you know, the same amount of showers or other glasses. Really good opportunity to work with custom home builders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's like, I love like rolling up on a house that has like 8 shower doors in it and unloading my tools one time, you know, doing 8 shower doors and then loading my tools back up. That's awesome, you know, rather than going to 8 different job sites, you know, unloading everything, doing the work, reloading, cleaning up, you know, it's like, it's a nice, those multi shower door homes.
And like, how did some of you guys find was the easiest or most productive way to break into a relationship or a new relationship with a custom home builder?
The reason why they were going to call you is because whoever they were working with sucks. So whenever they give you the opportunity, you got to deliver and do the very best that you can. And they're going to come back to you. That's really it for us.
How do you get to be the next guy on the list, though, I guess?
So you gotta call them. You got to swing by job site. Cold call, walk into a job site, walk into an office, talk to them over and over and over. So the thing is like, if you're not marketing or when you're starting up, you're not going to go door to door to try to sell someone a shower door, like door to door. Right. But so you're going to go out and try to get contractors and build your relationship there. Cause that's going to keep you busy. So, just driving by, you see a job, a sign out front of a house being built or remodeled, take a picture of it, call them later. If they're there, try to walk in, talk to them and just build that relationship. So I built a relationship with a really good contractor out here. I called them. I kept calling them. Nothing was happening. This was like early on, like year 2 in business. And they, one day he called me and I saw signs everywhere. And then one day he called me and said, "Hey, I need your help. I need you to walk this house with me." And I knew exactly what house it was. It was a 30,000 square foot house. It was the biggest house I was going to do at that point. And that was the opportunity he was going to give me, was that house. And it would, and then from there, we just built the relationship and we've been working with them since.
Wow.
Great. Yeah, for us, one of our best home builders right now, it took us about 8 years from the first time we contacted them to the time that they first purchased. And what opened the door is that one of our customers had purchased from us a couple of showers. And then, you know, years later, she built this custom home for her and her family, and they wanted to use us. So after that, you know, it has been great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another good thing about builders compared to homeowners, like we try to have a mix of what we do, but how many times you do a shower door for a homeowner in their lifetime? Maybe twice, maybe unless they're, you know, buying multiple homes in your area, but like right. You do a shower door and you never see them again for the most part on a retail customer, but a home builder is going to keep feeding you and giving you more and more. And then what's cool about builders is they multiply, right? You get in with the PMs and then the PM ends up leaving that builder and they go to another builder and then they just start using you over at the other builder. So now now you just got another builder because you had a relationship with the project manager at an old builder. So it keeps multiplying that way.
Right. And you also make connections with other trades, you know, and like, that's why it's super important to get along, be polite with other tradesmen, right? Work together. Hey man, let's work with each other. If I can get out of your way, or, you know, if I can, you know, do something to scratch their back, you know, the plumber, the tile guy, the electrician, the roofer, whatever, you know. Those guys will give your name to the other contractors they work with. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, like there's a saying like in sales, like all things being equal, people would rather buy from a friend, someone they know, like, and trust, right? So it's like, they may not, you know much about your business or even the quality of your work or your pricing or anything, but they just like you. And when someone says, hey, do you know a guy who does that? They'll drop your name. But you got to get along. That's the secret. I know that's hard.
Very good, Chris. Yeah, that's good.
Another good thing, like if you have something for a homeowner, they change a handle or something like that. Like a lot of times you can just throw it in, right? Even if it's an upgrade, or you can give them the change order to upgrade the handle. But like a builder, when something changes like that, a little trick is you can just give them the handle for the upgrade and just make it up on the next shower. So, which is, you can just roll a little bit of your price and do, if you have consistent work with them, it makes it easy to do. It looks like favors to them, but you're making the money back on the next job. So you can break it up over multiple jobs, which makes it easy for them. And it makes you look good to them.
Love that. And always make sure that they know. Always make sure you remind them, hey, you know, I'm not going to charge you for this. Yeah. Love it.
And Brian, I've even done code calling. If I couldn't leave when I was in a certain city, I went online, I pulled a list, I scraped it, I did every builder, and I wrote, as I was driving, I Bluetooth called everyone, and I was driving to one measure while calling the next saying, hey, we're a 20-year glass company in town doing showers. I can be there to measure if you have any projects, just calling so you have our number. After like 9 times, one guy answered, I have 7 showers right now. He happened to be 3 blocks away. He already had someone on it, but we were able to bid, land the job, and use him from that point going forward, just from the ugly, hardest work, which is cold calling, and actually being able to break through that hello. It's really hard nowadays, but if you're willing to, I've had success there, and at least they'll know your name. So the next time they see your advertisement or you see their truck, you make it a point, because you know you see them at Dan's Hamburgers all the time. So you walked in there the 5th time and said, hey, are you so-and-so? I'm Brian, I called you. And now he has a face to the name. He might actually treat you with a little better attitude next time, because you're not a stranger anymore. And sometimes it's that active, it's not manipulative. It's truly trying to build a relationship with the people in your community and give value to them, which you think you can. And you believe if they use you and compare you to someone else, they're going to rate you higher because of everything you deliver. So you're not coming at them in an ugly way. You're trying to save them.
Well, that comes down to what Keith always says, which is, you know, it's the number of touch points, the number of times they see you or hear you or see your face or hear of your name. It matters, you know. It just takes time, though.
Did you know there's a stat out there that says 80% of sales come from the 12th follow-up?
I've heard 7, but yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty high. So the guys that follow up 1 or 2 times, just know that the more you follow up, the better chance you're going to have of selling that job. Mm. And it goes along with those touch points. So,
yeah. Yeah. And if you're contacting somebody too many times, they'll tell you, you know, they'll say, hey, stop calling me. Right. But how often, I mean, those of you who do follow up a lot, how often does somebody tell you stop? Like 1 in what 50?
I'd say 1 out of 100.
Because 100,
I follow up with all 17 locations. I have automations to follow up with everyone, multiple touch points across email, phone, and voicemail drops, and I see stops come in, but it's very rare. And the people will let you know, and we accommodate immediately by law, by regulation. We make sure they know your stop. And by the way, here's other avenues: a YouTube channel, a newsletter, a page you can visit that has everything you need, because maybe you didn't want a phone call or a text, but you did want a phone call. Maybe you didn't want a phone call, but you did want the brochure. Making sure they know we're not just one type of company really helps, and making sure your users know that. However, they might have rubbed them the wrong way, they need to know, well, maybe they could talk to your assistant in the office, who they actually will come to softer automatically because they're not you. It's not just multiple touch points of view. It's multiple people in your organization touching them, so they know it's not just you.
Everybody's touching you.
Chance's favorite thing, right? Chance's favorite thing, yes, no, or restraining order.
Yes, no, or restraining order.
In the nicest way possible.
That's right. But yeah, I think Rob's right. Like, man, 1 out of 100, maybe.
Yeah.
Actually say, okay, that, yeah, stop. So that means that those people are actually, maybe they're appreciating your contacting them. They're, you know, people aren't going to respond and say, well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they'll respond and say, hey, thanks. Thanks for following up. But usually they won't. You know, usually they'll just quietly appreciate it without telling you.
There's usually 9 in our follow-up sequence. There's 7 standard messages in the main location I track. And it's usually at the very end, our last message that says, hey, looks like you're not going to use us. We'll stop. And then we send one more that's like, or they'll respond and say, thank you. Or some type of, we use somebody else, somewhere along that automated follow-up. And then the next question we ask has sparked some very interesting conversations. No problem. Why didn't you decide to use us? We're always trying to be better. And people tell you, it's a crazy thing. They're actually texting us threads saying, we appreciate you. We actually chose this other person because they were faster or better, better reviews or quicker timing. We got that a lot, the turnaround time. And just getting feedback from them, they do not think it's harassment or all. They want you to know, like, man, y'all looked good and we wanted you, but here's where you lost us.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you actually caring enough to try to improve your process for the next people. They've said that to us too, which is really cool. So if you don't have that built in, I would suggest doing it, asking when you get the no's, asking why. Don't let it stop there.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity to learn something, right?
It's awesome. It's an awkward question. I kind of just had to coach our receptionist through that a little bit. And the terminology that I use, and I don't know what you use, Rob, I'd be interested to know, but I always like, do you mind me asking what made the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And people are usually willing to tell you. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, my contractor had somebody else or whatever. And then I'll ask, well, who is your contractor? I'd love to reach out to them at some point. And they did great work, you know, something like what, whether they did or not, but you know, then you earn their business. That's another cold call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those of you that are on the fence about fabricating, when you have custom home builders and you can pull a huge project in 1 or 2 days, they'll love you forever.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage. I mean, if you can do that,
or if you can't fabricate yet and you have a really good relationship with your fabricator and they do favors for you. You got to build those relationships too, because we have some of our vendors they'll get us glass overnight for projects if we need it. So we do so much volume with them and just work with them. So
yeah. That's good too.
Mm-hmm. So I've got a different question. Sounds like this one is done. So I've gone to several customers lately where whether it's a homeowner or a remodeler, and we show up and the knee wall top isn't on, or the curb isn't on because it's granite in it. Well, it's coming next week. And when we talk to them on the phone, we specifically say the tile needs to be done everywhere where the glass is going to meet the tile and the threshold. We started saying just the tile, and they say, oh, yeah, it's done. Well, then we come up and the threshold's not done. Oh, well, no, the tiles was done. Okay, so we've added in the threshold needs to be done and the tile. And so we're getting these times where we show up and it's not done. I don't know what to do. It's driving me nuts. How do you guys handle that?
Are you getting it with homeowners or builders or both?
This last one was a remodeler It's usually remodelers or tile guys.
Usually it is.
One of them was a homeowner.
Usually it is builders or remodelers or contractors or whatever that dry run you like that. But what happens is their tile guy says everything's going to be done and you get out there and they're like, man, I was told it was supposed to be done. It's not done.
Yeah.
And then you get dry runned out there. But what I would do is what we do is if it gets to a point where they start doing it more and more, the same person, we let them know like, hey, we're going to have to charge you for a dry run. Like we're going to have to start charging you for these trips because we're not going to eat them. And then that helps out a lot because, you know, they don't want to pay the extra and then they understand when it starts to become a habit. So.
Yeah. I had a new builder that did that to me and the guy just seemed like a real jerk and I really didn't want to deal with him. So I gave him a price and then I added on cause I wanted to make sure he understood what the deal was. I actually added a second line on my quote that said something to the effect of, you know, remeasure. I think I charged him $150 to come back because it was a long drive. And, you know, we had specifically told him it needed to be done. And he specifically said it will be done. And something happened. It does. But he didn't call us and he was just kind of aloof about it. So I put that in there. We didn't get the job. I didn't want the job, but hopefully it made an impression on him that said, you know, we're in business to make money and this isn't the way we're going to do it. You know,
but you can say something like, you know, like our quotes include one trip to take exact measurements and make sure that everything is done. Otherwise, you know, we'll have to charge you another fee. So just make sure that you do have everything done. So that way you avoid, you know, a charge. And most of the time, if you say that from the beginning, they'll make sure, you know, to have it ready.
Yeah.
And the verbiage is kind of important. We kind of touched a little bit on verbiage, but I tell every customer that we're scheduling with that I let them know that all the surfaces that the glass is going to be sitting on have to be done, you know, so they can visualize. That means the curb or a knee wall or whatever. So that's just the way I put it.
And that's really
helpful. That's good.
Homeowners specifically, because if you asked me 4 years ago, what the threshold was, I really wouldn't have known truly. Mm-hmm. But for builders, they really are in a hurry to get the job done. So they're running these tight, you know, deadlines on everybody. And so their tile, say the tile's done and tell them the tile's done, but it might not be. So especially if it's a long drive, I request a photo before I get there.
Mm-hmm. Photo.
100%.
Yeah.
That's
text me a photo.
Yeah. And we try to do that now too, with estimating, just getting some estimates, rough estimates out there, especially with builders and remodelers and whatever. I know that's kind of a controversial thing to do. A lot of people do it. A lot of people really don't, but our pricing is relatively firm and I don't want to do work that we're not going to get paid well for. And I think you all can agree with that. Right. So
yeah, absolutely.
I don't not do it. I wouldn't, when I was in the office and I was responsible for getting the jobs on the schedule, if you didn't send me a picture, you weren't getting moved to the next step. Because I was the one during the COVID era actually answering, running the ads, answering, going out, installing, picking it up and doing the entire process, invoicing to the end. And the dry run, I couldn't afford it. Yeah. I couldn't afford it. I need you to send me a picture. You know how to use the phone. If it was your grandbaby on the end of the line, you figure it out. You're going to send me a picture of that space. But I don't phrase it in that way. It's more of a, can you please send a picture so we can get ahead of anything we need to bring and to properly estimate you ahead of time. And it really started with windows. Before we even started with showers and custom, it was so crucial for me with the margins on just windows for the drive time in Austin and the time I could have executed two jobs or seven quotes in that dry run. Had I just taken five more minutes to send them a video or explain to them why I really needed that picture of that window, because now I know it wasn't a hack out that I could fix in one day and I completely restructure the way we're going to route people to this emergency single pane window that's actually an IG with only one side broken. Could have been approached in a completely different way. But no matter how much I verbally describe to them what a single and a double pane is, I need to see the picture. because then I'll see it's only broken one side, even though they say it's broken all the way through. It's broke. I'm looking at it. It's broke. And they don't get what there's a miscommunication. And that's why I don't even particularly know what y'all mean with threshold. And I've been in the business for how many years? So I would say, send me a picture of your space so I can know our guys are properly prepared for you when they go. But really, it's just about saving our time, being able to pay our guys more. Every second counts. We care about them sitting in a truck for 5 minutes, but we'll send them somewhere for an hour without even taking 5 minutes on our end to verify it's a wasted trip of our gas, time, possible installation they could be doing instead. Other customers that could have made happy. Just too much. Nowadays, it's just too much for me to accept. But other people operate different ways, and I'm not in that position anymore. So that's my feedback.
You bring up a good point. And it's subtle, but the trick is to make it important to them, right? Because they don't care about our plight. They don't care that it costs us money. They don't care that it's opportunity cost.
That's your problem.
They don't care that we wait. That's our problem. And that's the cost of doing business, 100%. Right? Well, if all of a sudden it's their problem or it's important to them, hey, it's going to cost you 3 more days because I can't just come back tomorrow or whatever it is. You have to phrase it in a way that hits them where they live, because otherwise it's not going to matter.
We can't order the glass until we get the exact measurements, and we can't get exact measurements until these spaces are done, because we measure as tight as possible to minimize any gaps for you. So please let me know as soon as it's done. Like, send me a picture. Yeah, that kind of phrasing will definitely work. We're doing it for you to proceed on your order, which we can't do.
It's for the children.
For the children.
Always.
You can't build your company around satisfying every single customer's needs. You know what I mean? You got to build your company, you know, one way, and that's the way you do business. And if you lose customers because of it, so be it. But you're going to gain more customers because of the way you're doing business. If you look at all the big, great companies out there, they don't change the way they do business for one customer. It is what it is. If you want the service, it is what it is.
Yeah, not just that, but you're also getting the kind of customers that you want, right? I mean, it's like you're eliminating the customers. There is a clientele that you don't want. Trust me. You may have not met them yet, but believe me when I tell you, there are some people you do not want to work for.
The other thing that customers try to do along the same vein is they'll say, well, I think my tile is going to be done by next Friday or next Wednesday or whatever. Can I schedule a measure for the next day? And I'll say, oh, okay, well, I'll pencil something in, I'll put something down. And then how about I call you to confirm next week? And so I make a note to do so. It's a lot of extra work, truly, but then you're not waiting for a customer to call back to get something scheduled. You go ahead and put them in your pipeline. You get them penciled in on the calendar. You get them to the next step that they want to go, but you definitely have to make that note and say, hey, call them please, because they might not have their tile done or whatever. And also
we call the day before all the time, every time. We contact the day before every time. Oh yeah, it's done. Okay, you just lied to me.
Oh, buyers are liars. True. Yep. They are liars. We get it all the time. I mean, we still go all the time. I drove an hour to measure for a double shower screen on an ultra wide opening for a guy who swore to me it would be done twice. He rescheduled twice. And I drove an hour out there. It wasn't done, not even close to done. Drove an hour home, and he knew I was fuming. I mean, I was furious. I didn't say anything, but I was very mad. We got the job, but I tacked on a trip charge under the labor without him seeing it. I mean, I'm not going to line item that out there, but I'm going to get the money for the trip.
That's right.
And the driveway wasn't done, which, come on. I mean, I get it, but that was a big scheduling thing too.
That's that four-wheel drive?
Pardon?
That's that four-wheel drive, operating vehicle?
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive, yeah. That's what you need here in Santa Cruz, in the Santa Cruz Mountains, man. Yeah. It's crazy, dude. It's like I go up some of these roads, I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. I got to make it between these two redwood trees, you know, the old van. It's crazy. Fun.
We've got stories for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to modify our procedure a little bit just to cover that stuff, because it just irks me.
In follow-up, you can pre-schedule messages. So that's one thing, like Christina was saying, they make a note in their system. If you are using follow-up or if you have some other system, just like even iPhone, I think might have the feature, but we like to type the message we're going to send and then schedule it to send on that day. And now that's what we would have said anyways, but we just can see in the system on their contact card on the 7th at 9 a.m. that they were going to get a message asking, hey, is that tile done already? Because a week ago they told us it would be. So it's just like one less manual to do. We kind of set in there versus a task that we have to remember to do. But
right.
Either way, having a system that catches them so they don't get dropped, super important. Hopefully getting the picture before, of course.
Yeah. People like, they like the idea of if their tile isn't done yet, but still what options are there? You know, let's design it. Let's do the fun part first, because they've probably already gone through a horrible remodel that's taken forever. They didn't get to pick all their finishes. They didn't get all the fun part. They didn't get the Pinterest part that they want, right? The shower door gets to be that part. And that's what's so fun about our jobs, at least from my perspective. Mm-hmm. You guys may not like Pinterest, but I do.
Awesome.
And so do I.
Yeah. Are there puppies on there? Because if there's puppies, I'm down.
It's a very good place.
Awesome.
There are puppy boards. I've seen them. Puppy boards. I've seen them, Chris. Go to the pastures. They are there.
I'm circling back, man. It's still going through my head what you said, Rob, like probably 15 minutes ago. About, I think Brian was asking about how do you get new contractors? And you were talking about how, you know, you're driving to a job and you see these job signs and you're like calling them. And I was thinking, wow, that's true. Every time I'm going to a job, I'm always passing by construction sites.
Passing by tons, and every one of those guys is doing something.
Yeah. There's always one along the way, you know, I mean, and just, yeah, you know, put them on a speakerphone, you know, call them up.
I was, and everyone has someone. Everyone is in the middle of jobs. They literally have people on site, or they already got, it's not even about who they have. It's just about them knowing we were there, because after 20 years, we decided we're going to go into shower business. Okay, who knows we do it? No one. Who can our team can do it? Maybe Chris? No one else? All right, so we got a project ahead of us. Let's go. And we just started. The first way to do it is to tell them we're here and we're going to do whatever it takes to earn your business. Give us one. And if they hear you a few times, knock on the door, you're going to get them. You're going to get them, Brian. I know you will.
And especially if you're in the job, if you're in the area, you know, if you can call someone and say, hey, I'm doing a job right down the street. And I saw your sign and I want to know, you know, who's doing your showers, you know, and it's like, do you have somebody? And then that's an opportunity. I mean, they can drive by that job site you're on and peek in the window or, you know, or just see, you know, and man, that's great, because who knows, their shower door guy might be blowing it right now. Right now is dropping the ball.
The pitch the pitch we used was that exact thing. I know your guy's good, but I'm able to give you an estimate for the project in case you already have something and you want to price compare. I can go by there and give you a measurement real quick. That was another phrase I threw in there, Chris, though, for people who had actual customers already, but I didn't want to step on toes. I just want to let them know, here's here. I want to put my price next to yours. Whenever they fail you, give me a ring.
Exactly, because they will.
So there's a funny story about the neighbor thing. Chance was in Colorado one time and he was, we were doing a house across the street, a shower across the street from a house that was being built, and the builder sign was out there. So Chance recorded a video and tagged that builder on Instagram that, hey, we're working across the street, like we should be doing your showers too and all that. And he did it multiple times with this builder in the area, and they responded, would you stop tagging us in these videos that don't pertain to us?
That's bold. That is bold. That sounds like Chance.
Oh, bold.
That's the yes, no, or restraining order right there.
Exactly.
You will remember me either way.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Get out of the truck. Brad gets out of the truck and at like any time he passes a dumpster in a driveway, gets out of the truck, introduces himself to whomever's on site, anybody, it could be anybody. He's like, "Hi, I'm Brad, the shower door guy," and hands him a card, does a whole spiel. It's so embarrassing. He's done it my entire life. It's horrible.
So Derek at our New York location, Chance and I were out there and we're driving with them when we're in the Hamptons and we're driving. And all of a sudden Derek's like, just pulls over and he jumps out of the vehicle. He's like, "I've been chasing this builder for 2 months now." And he's finally sitting in his truck right here, parked on the side of the road, eating his food. And Derek's knocking on the window and holding a business and handing him a business card. And I'm like, "Dude, really?" And he's like, "Dude, I see contractors at red lights all the time. And I just pull up next to him at a red light. I'll get out of my truck really quick and go hand him a business card at a red light." I'm like, "That's bold, dude."
How hungry are you?
I've heard that about Derek, man. He's crazy.
It's the way to get business, though. It makes a huge impression. People will not forget you. And if there are, you know, people working in a house when you're measuring, give them your card. You know, we're just ordering a whole bunch of business cards right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, you know, and especially like you, Brandon mentions, like the Hamptons. I mean, like, you know, you're on a job in the Hamptons, man. You want more work in that neighborhood. If you're in that neighborhood, you want more work in that neighborhood. You know, like the other day I was over in Los Gatos over here. You know, the area, this kind of a high, you know, high-end area. Los Gatos. And I don't know if I sent it to everybody. I took a picture of this house. It's like this house with like these huge Roman columns, man. It's like, I don't know if it's as nice inside as it is outside. I went to the pool house out back, so I didn't get the tour. But man, that's a nice neighborhood, you know? So that's the perfect opportunity where if you can stop and talk to somebody else who's working in that area, you want to be going back there as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, the house in the Hamptons, like Derek's out there landing $45,000-$70,000 jobs in the Hamptons, like just from walking up to a job site and talking to contractors. Like we've had multiple $40,000 jobs out there in the last couple months. Wow. So just from cold walking onto a job site or cold calling contractors. So.
And you would think that those would be hard to get. But they're really not. It's interesting because back when I was a young man, you know, when I was single and stuff, I would like be out. I grew up in Las Vegas, so I'd be out like the casinos, whatever, messing around, you know. And I'd go up to like a couple of like really beautiful women, and I'd be like, "God, you are a couple of beautiful women." I said, "I'll bet. The guys are just hitting on you all night long." And they'd be like, "No, nobody comes up and talks to us." Because people are scared to death of them, you know? The guys wouldn't dare approach them, you know? And it's like, these big high-end builders are just like that. It's like, people aren't brave enough to go up and tell them, "Hey, we'll do your work for you," you know? Because they're not sure they're good enough, right? To do that kind of work. But, You are good enough. You can do it. So that's a little bit of advice from me.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, right? Isn't that true? Isn't that your experience, Christina? I mean, probably guys are just scared to death of you.
No, but thank you. We were really scared of like an arch shower door that I think I posted in the Facebook group. And I mean... it was risky. It was a risky job. There were two other companies who just wouldn't do it, but we had a really good relationship with the tile guy, and the custom home builder working on the home couldn't find anybody. So I think we've earned the designer's business and the custom home builder's business. And now we're doing two other shower doors in the same neighborhood. So that's really awesome. Just from getting that arch shower glass, which was a pain, but we did it. And we are good enough.
Yes. Yes.
Bill's not here, but something he also said that stuck with me, though, was, and I'm not bold enough to do this yet, but he'll bring cookies to a gate attendant in a gated neighborhood.
That's good.
I'm not bold enough to do that, but you know, getting in good with the gate attendants too was something that Bill, I think, recommended, and I thought that was a great.
Brilliant.
That's actually very smart. You know how many gate attendants have held me up in my company trucks? Like, and having a good relationship with them and the consumers inside would have helped instead of just trying to land the people that were after the barriers. That's actually really good advice for all the front end people, including that person in the office who doesn't pass your calls along or your business card along. If you brought them cookies or donuts, they might make sure that boss saw it when he came in.
Yeah. For sure.
Have you guys heard of the 3-foot rule? So if I'm within 3 feet of you, you're going to hear about what I do. It's not going to, it may not be overt. It may not be, hey, I do shower doors. It may be you just work into the conversation. Oh yeah, we did a shower door last week. Oh really? I need a shower door. What is that? You know, you're not putting it in their face. You're just slyly mentioning something.
Yeah, you're not saying, do you want to buy a shower door?
Right.
You're just saying, I do shower doors.
And it may not even be that overt, mm-hmm. but it's just subtle. And if they're in the market, they're going to go, huh, I wonder what that's about. And so they'll bite. If not, you haven't wasted any breath, really. It just was in the conversation, subtle, and you move on. It's all good.
But I have to ask, it's a great idea, and I do it all the time too, and we all should, but spouses are so tired of hearing about shower doors at parties.
My rib starts hurting. Used to be insulated glass.
It's the old rib pain.
Yeah, we would be at a friend's house or whatever, and you can't help but see a foggy window. You just can't when you do it for a living, right? And so I'm talking to somebody, the homeowner, right? A friend of ours. And I said, oh, by the way, do you know you have a foggy window? And I'm looking like down at the other end of the hallway. And it's not like I was trying to, but I just can't help. And then my wife is like, damn, would you quit that? It's what we do. I can't help it. So yes, I get it.
3-foot rule.
This is, yep. That's the same thing as when you're driving in the car and you're like, oh, we did that house. Oh, we did that house. Oh, we did that house. Or yeah. We did that house.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
If I bring glass up at another party, I think my husband might leave me. He's so sick of it, but he's a trooper.
Just so. Remind him that that's where part of his paycheck comes from.
Aww. Yeah.
All that and marriage advice too, man. I mean, you know, come on. What more can you ask for? Yeah. Good stuff, huh?
That's some great nuggets. I can't wait to send you the summary.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's like that, like Brandon's little thing, man. That was good. That should be an article. I can't, one of his like little deals, man. I was like, yeah, that was pretty good stuff.
The pool speech.
Yeah, his little speech. I can't remember what he was talking about, but it was like, I remember going, yeah, that's good, man.
The AI's got it. We'll get it.
That's newsletter quality.
Also, are you accepting anyone that might want to write an article on a monthly basis or contribute anything to some type of, I know Bill Dahlman already raised his hand, but you did ask everyone before, but now that we're actually creating it and it's becoming established within the next week or two, the invitation's open.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you've got something on your mind, you just want to write something down and just email it over. Or just an idea that reach out, you know, we'd like to have like, you know, some regular columns, maybe, you know, if it's something you wanted to write on a regular basis, that there's an opportunity for that. Or is there something you just like from time to time, like to send something over? I don't know. There might be some aspiring writers here in the group.
Or something you'd like to be updated on.
Right.
What's that,
Christina?
Is that for the newsletter?
Yes, for the newsletter. So think about that. Yeah, along those lines, the new shower door design and installation guide has finally been released. So that's pretty exciting.
I'll be ordering one soon. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
is that from the
Yeah.
Awesome.
It is.
Somebody posted a link in the group today. Sam Olson, I think it was.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's there.
Sam's in the group right now, I think. Right? You out there, Sam? I think he is. I see his name on the list.
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, I knew it. I knew it. What's up, Sam?
Just floating, listening.
Nice. Glad you're here, man. Yeah, thanks for posting that link.
Yeah, thanks for the link.
That's cool. I didn't even know. I didn't even know that it got released.
Your name's on it.
My name's on it. Man.
I think a lot of people in this group are on it. And that's so impressive. I think maybe is Shannon a part of it? Bill?
Yes. Yep. Both of them. I mean,
Billy Britt.
Yeah. Let's see.
Danny Donahue.
Dave Coral. Danny Donahue is kind of the pilot of the whole thing, I'd say. Because Shannon contributed a lot. I mean, there are certain members that really contributed much more than I did, for sure. You know, I think I wrote a couple sentences about something in there. Can't remember what. But it was, it was fun participating in it. It turned out to be quite the document. So, yeah, when you get a chance, get a hold of one of those things. I think that's going to settle some arguments.
Maybe with customers even.
Maybe. Yeah, especially. Well, that's the only people you argue with anyway, right?
Yeah.
Them and the designers.
Those pesky.
When I was sharing with my staff today, that was the biggest thing. They're like, hey, I want to just screen share these three diagrams here on tile setup, curb slope, a whole bunch of tips that they could just run with almost immediately.
Yeah. So that link is posted in the chat there if you want to check it out. That's awesome. Robert posted that.
The first one's a Facebook link. The second one's a shorter link.
Either one
works, but I should have checked the link before I did that.
And how is it available? Is it available only for download? Or is it an actual hard copy guide?
I don't know if there is a hard copy of it.
Yeah, I think it said download only.
Okay.
Speaking of the NGA, is anybody signed up for Glass Build yet?
Not yet. Getting ready to, though.
Nice. How about you? Have you done it yet?
Yep. Brad and I are all signed up. And thanks to all of your recommendations, we will be going to the executive forum as well.
You guys are on it.
Trying to be.
Wow. They're like probably the first ones to sign up. That's awesome. At least in this group.
Can't beat the early bird pricing, though. It's pretty good.
Exactly. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's down in your neck of the woods, right?
Makes sense for us.
Sure. Awesome. Good stuff. What else? Got 1 minute.
I'll leave everyone with this. If you have employees or whatnot, you guys should build out a PPF for all your employees, a personal, professional, and financial goal thing for them. 1, 3, and 5 year goals for all your employees for personal, professional, and financial. And if you're trying to scale the business, your employees mean everything to you. So you should want to see them succeed. So your goal has got to be large enough to fit all your employees' goals inside it to be able to have everyone succeed.
Love it. That's a great note to end on. Hey, thanks everyone for showing up once again. Be sure to check out, click on that link. that Robert posted to go to the Shard Door Professionals page where you can sign up for the newsletter and you can like volunteer to be a speaker. So we can have like, you know, some speakers on again. Cause everybody loves that, you know? So sign up, volunteer, and keep doing what you do. Doing great. See you next week. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.